Join me up here. This is a joint effort this morning, and we're going to just talk to you a little bit more about the summer, what's coming up, and how that all happens. We have chairs over here, men. We're just going to bring over here. If I can take that one, Christopher, and then I'll take that one over, and then you guys each grab one. Also, yep, I'll get this one. See, get all our ducks in a row here. What's that? No, I don't need to sit in the middle. I like sitting on the end over here. Now, oh, let's see. Okay, so if you are very new to Living Hope, maybe only here a few weeks or a month or two, these are the elders. All five of us make up the elder team that leads the church. The church at Living Hope, the ministry is led by the elder team, which are the five of us, and the elder team is led by the pastor, who is me. So, why was that funny? So Richard Reed is sitting immediately to my left, your right, and then Christopher Peters in the middle. Kevin Wanger is next to him, and Jay Pfeiffer is at the opposite end. So we wanted to take a morning to talk in a bit more detail about the sabbatical. We've not talked a lot about it publicly. If you're in like any of the leadership or staff, you'll know we've been talking quite a bit about it and working pretty hard on it for a number of months now. But just to remind you, in case you haven't heard, I will be taking a sabbatical over the summer. I will be away for 3 months, and we'll talk more about that as we go through. But we wanted to share with you this morning what we thought would be answers to probably common questions about the sabbatical. So we're just going to go through our questions here this morning. What is a sabbatical? The concept of Sabbath, which is the root of the word sabbatical, first appears in Scripture at the very beginning. In Genesis, at the creation, you'll remember it says God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. So that idea of one out of seven, the word Sabbath really has to mean, it means seventh, and that rhythm has been all through history. In the Old Testament, the Israelites, the Jews, observe, and to this day observe, a Sabbath, which is the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday. Now, the Christian church, following the resurrection of Christ, felt that that day would be best observed on the first day of the week in commemoration of what? The resurrection. The first day of the week in commemoration or in remembrance of the resurrection. So just, you know, a little reminder for you, every time we gather on a Sunday, that very act of gathering on the first day of the week is to remind us of the resurrection. So that's why we gather on the first day. But anyway, so that has been throughout Scripture. Taking a personal sabbatical, like I'll be doing, is very common in the education field. Teachers, professors are granted a sabbatical. Now that sabbatical is normally a year in length. They take an entire year off, and there are certain stipulations attached to that as far as like study and, you know, various projects or whatever. So that's not that uncommon. And that, again, is for rest, for travel, for study. So that's sort of just that really brief snapshot. But then Jay's going to address the next question then as to why sabbaticals are important for pastors.
Being a pastor, am I on? Okay, yep. Being a pastor is very rewarding, but also can be very taxing also emotionally and spiritually. So you hear a lot about pastor burnout and so forth, and that's something we don't want to happen. So there's a lot of value in having a sabbatical. HopeNet is Living Hope is part of HopeNet Network, and there are several pastors in the HopeNet Network that have recently taken a sabbatical. You might know Michael Evans from Christ the King just took a sabbatical. It was very rewarding, and also helps to refocus and so forth. So Ron is in his 12th year here with Living Hope. May I throw this in here that the national statistic is that pastors change every 3 years in their jobs. Ron is here 12 years. Let's give him a hand. That's a lot to be thankful for. We're very grateful for Ron in his 12th year here, and he only had 1 month off in 2010. He took a 1 month sabbatical in 2010, so he is due for a 3 month sabbatical. So,
I wanted to ask a question. How many of you in this room have been in a church setting where the pastor has taken a sabbatical of probably at least 3 months or greater? The 3 month thing, wherever you read, they say that's sort of the standard for a pastoral sabbatical. Anything shorter than that is not really considered a sabbatical because they don't believe it's long enough to really disconnect the way you're supposed to. How many of you have been in a church where that's happened? Just show of hands. Okay, maybe, 5% of you? 8%, something like that. I don't know about you, I'm hearing a lot more about pastors that are taking sabbaticals. I think churches and ministries are really saying, you know, this is a good thing. This is a healthy thing. I don't think years ago you heard of it. It didn't seem that common that pastors would do this. So maybe there wasn't a whole lot of belief or understanding of the benefit. But anyway, I was just curious about that. So Chris is going to tackle the next question here.
Yeah, so I don't know, those people that had their hands up, if that was a good experience, if somebody went on sabbatical and then didn't show up after the 3 months or what. So some of the question that may come up is there's something going on. I think that's maybe a human nature thing to ask. It's also, I think, a seed of the devil to try to sow something in that's not there. So just to answer the question, there's absolutely nothing wrong. It's not like the four guys on this side are mad at the guy at the end for some reason. That's not what the sabbatical is about. This is not the, you know, you're putting somebody on paid leave or something. We are in total unity, and we feel like we're at a great, healthy place at Living Hope, that this is the right time to do this. So when Dave, our overseer, recommended this, really the four of us pushed for this. This isn't actually a push necessarily from Ron's end, but he's on board with that, obviously, but we really encourage this and feel like this is the right time for Pastor Ron to have a sabbatical. So nothing's wrong, nothing's falling apart. We just feel like we're at a real healthy place at this point where if Pastor Ron goes away for 3 months, there's all you here in this room that are really the body of Living Hope that do the groundwork that we keep doing the ministry of Jesus, even though Pastor Ron isn't necessarily in this building.
Yeah, thanks, Christopher. I totally agree. I mean, I've been talking with Dave for a while now about the timing of the sabbatical, and yeah, I'll just repeat what he said. I feel really good. It wasn't something I pushed for originally, but the more I talk to Dave about it, I just reflect on the 1 month I took off and how much benefit I received from that. So I really am believing that God is going to use this in very good and healthy ways. So the next question I guess I have to answer, it's not fair to ask anybody else to answer it. What will I do for 3 months? That's a good question. What will I do for 3 months? It's a pastoral sabbatical anyway, for this duration of time is primarily about two things. It's about disengaging from pastoral activities, stepping out of my pastoral role. So I no longer take phone calls. I'm no longer preaching. I'm no longer teaching. I'm no longer doing things a pastor does. I get to be a non-pastor for 3 months. That's probably the biggest thing that you say, well, that's not something you're doing. That's something you're not doing. Correct. That's something I won't be doing for 3 months. Something I will be doing is I will be resting. And that doesn't mean I'll be napping all day long every day. But, you know, rest, as you know, rest takes a lot of different forms. Somebody said one time, a change is as good as a rest. Now, so it will be a change for me. Whatever I do for the 3 months over the summer, I will not be pastoring. I will be enjoying more quiet times, times of just freedom in my schedule, times with the Lord, times walking through a park. I will enjoy times of hobbies. I love woodworking. I'm hoping to fit in a little bit of woodworking over the summer. Trying to spend a little bit more time with family, definitely wanting to spend more time with Molly, with our kids, and even with some of my brothers and sisters, being intentional, just trying to connect and spend a little time with them over this time. I have asked a gentleman by the name of Keith Yoder. Some of you probably know that name. He's kind of a regional leader in the area. He leads a ministry called Teaching the Word Ministries. He's a consultant. He serves many churches, many pastors, and networks with leadership training, leadership counsel. But he has served numerous pastors as a sabbatical coach, so I've asked him to be our sabbatical coach. Molly and I have already met with him once. We will meet with him several times over the summer. So he is working with us. We've already presented to him some of our goals for the sabbatical. He'll be checking in. He'll be sharing wisdom and asking questions and things like that. So that's another more of like the formal part of the sabbatical. I was reading a book this morning that I'll probably tell you a little bit more about in a few weeks. And the author was stressing this thing of you can rest, but restoring the soul is also an important part of rest, for the soul to be restored. Just because you stop activities doesn't mean your soul is automatically restored. That's kind of the phase two, if you will. So hopefully, and I believe completely confident, that God will do some restoration in my soul as well as yours over the summer. So, okay, the next one I think is for Richard. Yes.
Okay. As Jay already mentioned, Ron's been doing this for 12 years with very limited breaks. And I think what a lot of people tend to overlook is that a pastor's job is really 24/7. Even though there may not be something at his door all the time, knowing Ron, I know it's on his heart. And that takes a toll. So there's need for a rest. So, but he's not the only one that benefits from a sabbatical. We do too. You might ask me how that happens. Part of it is we're giving him an opportunity to step aside, to be refreshed, to be renewed, to hear the next direction that the Lord has for him personally and as leader of this church. But it's also an opportunity for us to step forward in the giftings that God has put in us. Like it or not, we've all been given a gift, and God expects us to exercise those gifts. So it's an opportunity coming for each one of us to step up. Each one of the elders is being pushed up a level. Everybody else needs to be pushed up a level. So we want to know, where's your heart? How do you desire to be involved? We want to do that. It's part of the vision that God has given us as an elder team. We want to find out who you are, what God's given you, and find a place for that to be utilized. It's also a reminder, Ron's sabbatical is a reminder, that he doesn't lead the church, and we don't lead the church, and you don't lead the church. Jesus does. This is his church from beginning to end. Okay? We've gone through a transition over the last few years, and it's become clear. He's the leader, not us. We're all expendable. So, as I mentioned, it is an opportunity for discovering and releasing the gifts that God's put in each one of us. It also gives us an opportunity to see how the needs are met, primarily through Ron and the leadership, but through everybody. Most of you don't have a clue what he goes through every day. There's a lot that he does that's being picked up by others. So hopefully it's going to be a smooth transition. But it's also an opportunity to see there is an awful lot that takes place in the day-to-day administration, just the ministry aspects of church. And lastly, it's time for us to reflect on this sabbatical experience and say, what's God teaching us? What's he asking of us? What are we learning? How are we growing as the church called Living Hope?
One practical thing I want to add to that, and this has been ongoing now for a number of months at Living Hope, but this has partly been fueled by the sabbatical and partly has been fueled just because it's something we wanted to grow in and to change slightly. You've noticed that every Sunday morning, it's usually someone different serving in the role that we're calling worship assistant. This morning it was Mike. Mike came up and he welcomed people and he had the mic. Mike had the mic. Yeah, pretty good, huh? And that position that we've been you know kind of creating and designing that for a number of months now is intended basically to take me out of the loop through that, really through the kind of that management of the service. Does that make sense? Like normally if someone felt like they had a word from the Lord or they had I'd like to share this testimony or share this scripture or whatever, they would normally come to me. That's okay. But we knew that with sabbatical coming, well, we have to have some other kind of system in place because if I'm not here, people can't come to me. Who do they go to then? So this is an opportunity in this context just to explain that the idea for that role and the people that are currently serving that role. Mike Richards serves in that role. Richard, to my left here, serves in that role. Wes Mullis serves in that role. Jeremy Nesmith serves in that role. And there may be a few others added as we go on. But right now, those are the four people that are basically serving in that role. So if on a Sunday morning you feel like you have a word to share, a word of prophecy, a word from the Lord, if you have a scripture that God really puts on your heart during worship or just something, a prayer, God really feels like something we should pray, then you just go speak to that person. So that's the design of that whole role. But that's just another little way of trying to not only prepare the body for my not being here this summer, but something that will continue even after I come back. So just a practical thing there. Okay, Kevin, you get the next one.
Okay, another question that people may ask as we look at sabbatical is, does Ron continue to receive salary? In other words, his normal pay during those 3 months? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. One of the things that the elder team is very committed to, again, as others have said, is that it is a time of rest. It's a time that he can focus on other things. And obviously, if financial needs aren't being met, then that's not time of rest. So a sabbatical time should be a time of not having financial distraction. So we are really blessed to be able to just continue that salary during the 3 months. And I might add, too, that that is a standard protocol, if you will, for many churches today. As pastors take a sabbatical, that pay can continue and should continue just so that the rest is undistracted. And so, you know, we really feel blessed and honored to allow Ron and Molly to take a sabbatical, and we want it to be a time of just for them to be away. And it's a time for us, like I said, to bless them and also to sow into what God is doing here at Living Hope. It's a 3 months time way for them. We're sowing into that time of rest and that time of restoration for them spiritually, just in giving financially and continuing that salary. So we're incredibly blessed to be able to do that.
Yeah, and I just say thank you, you know, to the team and to each of you for your generosity and allowing us to do that. I know it's standard, it's the protocol in sabbatical, but that doesn't mean we appreciate it any less. I'm believing that it will be an investment not just into us, but into the body, into Living Hope. That we will look back on this and say, this is what God did, and 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 this is just the investment that's hopefully allowing that to happen. Probably the biggest question, maybe the first question that came to your mind when we started talking about sabbatical was, okay, well, who does Ron's job? Like, if he's gone, he's a full-time employee of Living Hope. He's involved in a lot of stuff, so who's going to do that stuff while he's away? Does it just not get done, or what happens? So I'll just touch on a couple of these quickly. Regarding leadership, at the beginning, I said this is the team of people. The elder team leads this ministry. They oversee all of the ministries, all of the functions. And that will continue, just as it does now. It's just, I won't be a part of that this summer. In my absence, as I said in the beginning, you know, I lead this team. We together lead the congregation. So in my absence over the summer, Jay Pfeiffer will serve as lead elder. Now, please don't misunderstand what I just said. That does not mean that Jay is now doing all my jobs. Please, don't do that to him. What it means, though, is at the leadership level, the elders understand that, that Jay will function in that leadership role as I do normally. And so in terms, if you like the word headship, you know, where is the spiritual headship over the congregation? As Rick said, of course, it's Jesus Christ, but the human headship and leadership will be in with Jay for the months while I'm away. So we're very thankful for that, for his willingness to do that. And then, of course, Jay will be in touch with our overseer, as I am, Dave Whitmer, whenever we have questions, just touching base, checking in. So that addresses the leadership part. Probably the second question is then, well, who will be preaching? You know, Ron preaches most Sundays. Who's going to do that? So, Christopher, I'll let you take us through that. I mean, you can mention some names. Okay. There will be a number of different people involved, but Christopher's going to take us through a description of some of that.
For the summer, we've made 24 of those hats, too, and we're going to hand those out. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of planning, actually, that's gone on to the preaching schedule for the summer. So this place doesn't shut down for June, July, and August. We're not just closing the doors and not having any preaching. So don't just skip out. You will have vacation, that's fine, but then pull it up on the podcast. But so God's been leading us as Ron is going on sabbatical, and he's looking into certain things. As a church, we kind of want to parallel that and look into some of those things. So we've kind of honed in on the theme of identity, and I just wanted to hit June. The theme would be claiming your identity or reclaiming your identity from the father of lies, and we'll be going through that. The Peters and the McHughes will be sharing. Richard will be sharing on Father's Day. We're going to have Bruce Langman, who does the Wounded Heart video series that a lot of you have seen. He'll be here at the end of June to piggyback on that theme. And in July, the theme is protecting your identity. Greg Hirschberger will be giving a few sermons there. And then in August, it's walking in your identity. So if you imagine kind of reclaiming and protecting and then moving forward, so as we kind of converge again when Pastor Ron and Molly come back, that we're walking towards the identity that Christ has for us as individuals and as a church as we move forward in September. So Mike Richard will be filling in July or August, and in August we're going to have Dave Whitmer will be here a couple times, and Henry will be speaking. So we really have the whole summer planned out almost 100% at this point. And it's not, one thing we tried to do is to not have a guest speaker every week with a different topic. So it was kind of random every week. You didn't know what you were going to get. You didn't know who you were going to see. What we wanted to have is some continuity there. So again, if you do miss it because of vacation, pull up the podcast because maybe you'll miss step 2 and 1 through 3. But we really want to have it as a body working through this together, and these topics and the things that we're going to go through are as part of that, is one of the tools that we're going to do for the summer as we work through the sermon schedule. Did I miss anything on that?
No, that's good. I'm looking forward to it for you. I mean, it's really going to be good. A lot of work has gone into this, the whole summer given to the theme of identity. And what I'm excited about is how it will parallel what Molly and I are doing. I'm going to talk more about that in 2 weeks. I'll talk at a bit greater length about that. I think it's going to be great. Then just a couple other things, back to the pastor's hat. Pastoral care. Jay, I'll let you talk a little bit about this one.
Yeah, with pastor care, it will definitely not take a back burner. Those of you who are connected to life groups, please go to your life group leader for the pastor care. Life group leaders can come back to the elders. If you're not part of a life group, feel free to contact any of the elders or even call into the office, and somebody will get back to you very promptly. That pastor care is, pastoral care is going to be is very important that continue and not take a That's not important. Yeah.
And the office staff has put a lot of work into this. Carol Esch, who is not here this morning, but you know Carol, many of you know Carol, oversees our children's ministry. Carol is kind of the coordinator, in a sense, through the week. You know, she'll be coordinating with speakers and different things that are going on. And so, and Amy, our administrative assistant, is helping in that process. And then Mike Richard, of course, who is also on staff full-time at Living Hope, will be, you know, he's already involved in his roles, youth ministry, some things like that. But we have an excellent staff, so they'll be available. It's not like the place stops when I leave. A lot of good people working hard, and like Jay said, contact the office. That won't be a problem. You know, there'll be people that can help you. I don't know if you thought about these next few questions. You probably have. Some of you may have. A number of us have asked us about them already. The first one is, will Ron and Molly still come to Living Hope activities during the sabbatical? We've made it clear, okay, I'm not preaching, I'm not teaching, I'm not doing my stuff. Well, the little post-it note gives you the answer. the answer is no. Sorry, but the answer is no. In order to disconnect, we need to disconnect. Okay, so that's been kind of hard for us because we really do love you guys, but everyone, every pastor, every leader, every book you read, everything says if you are taking a sabbatical, you must disconnect on all levels. If you're going to stop being a pastor for a period of time, you have to completely disconnect from that whole realm. So, that's the answer. So I'll let Jay talk about some of the more, the next question is about, you know, about contacting us or asking us questions.
Can we still leave them alone?
Can we still contact them with a quick question? Sorry, no, you cannot. If you do see them in a store, please do not, don't run the other way or try and hide. I don't want you to do that. Please say hello, but respect them by not asking or saying, do you know what happened at Living Hope? Don't go there. So, you can ask them how they're doing, but that's basically it. Then the next question is, what if something traumatic happens while they're away within the Living Hope family? When they want to know that? And yes, they would want to know that, and I will be that contact person. I will be the link to contact Ron and Molly and let them know what is important. So if you think, well, this definitely warrants a phone call to or a text or a email to Ron and Molly, please don't do it. Please contact me, and I will make that. I will be in touch, be talking with the elders as to what is important that we need to call them and let them know what's going on. So, yeah, I will be the contact during that time.
Jay will do a good job in that role because he already serves in that role. Jay tries to protect me in my time, and he tries to intercept things so they don't all come to me. He's very faithful at that as an administrator, as administrative elder. So, that's been, you know, when we first heard that, when I think it was Dave first said to us, look, you can't talk to people. You really can't. You've got to disconnect. Molly and I almost immediately started like, that's not that important. We can talk to these people and we can talk to those, but that's not really that big of a deal, is it? And Dave Whitmer doesn't always get forceful, but he said, no, you can't. You can't do that. And then other pastors have said the same thing. In talking to Keith Yoder, when Molly and I first met with him, he told us, I thought it was a pastor, but Molly said it was actually a missionary he was talking about, that was home for a break, basically a sabbatical, furlough, whatever you want to call it. And he had a sabbatical coach that was working with him on this, and he was telling Keith, you know, there's this one missions conference that I'm just going to sneak in, I'm going to sit in the back, no one will know I'm there, I really want to hear it, I really want to hear what's going on, I really want to be a part of it. And Keith reluctantly, he really discouraged him from doing it. And he said, well, you know, if you really want to be a part of it, you know, slip in and slip out. The leader told him later, he said, you know, it took me 2 weeks to recover from that. He said, just getting back into that atmosphere again, all the weight just came right back down again. Like his whole, the whole thing of being a missionary and all that he thinks about and all that. So I think that's why, and you know, we'll experience that ourselves, but I think that's why there's such an emphasis on this from leaders that we've counseled with, that you really need to create some distance. So it's hard for us. We don't take any delight in that, but we're going to try to be obedient. So yeah, don't run from us if you see us walking down a sidewalk, but we're trying to really make that disconnect to our pastoral role. The next question, very simply, what are the exact dates? As I said, it's 3 months. It's June, July, August. The simplest way to remember, we will be here Memorial Day weekend, and we will be here Labor Day weekend, and we won't be here in between. So that's the simplest way to remember it. Our last Sunday will be the last Sunday of May, and we will be joining you again the first Sunday of September. Rick, you get the next one.
How can we pray for Ron and Molly during this time? It's important to remember that this isn't just for Ron, it's for Molly also. She pours a lot into Living Hope. I know she leads a life group that she's going to be taking a break from, so remember her as well. It's not just him. Obviously, the primary reason for sabbatical is rest. If you've been on vacation, you know it takes a couple of days to even get into the vacation mode once you leave. It's going to be the same for Ron and Molly. It's going to take a while for them to slip into this whole rest and refreshment mentality. So again, it's important to leave them alone, to let them give them the space, let them have the time to do that. It is for a time of renewal and refreshment, as we said, not just as pastor and a pastor's wife, but as a husband and wife and as parents. Their children are getting older, they're moving on in life, and it's an opportunity to kind of re-engage on every front. This is my favorite aspect of it. It's precious times with God and hearing his voice. It's really important for Ron as our pastor to know what the Lord is saying to him in terms of leading Living Hope, but also on what he's saying to him is where he's taking Ron personally. What's the next thing for Ron? What's the next level that he's calling him to? And finally, it's an opportunity for renewed energy, for ministry, greater clarity, to be able to put all this stuff down so that you can hear hear with a new filter, I guess, is the way I would say it. So that things come more clearly. It's not being influenced by this thing and that thing and so on. So, and again, he's got gifts too. Do you know that? That God wants to use. And some of them get occupied and some of them get covered over with other stuff. So who Ron really is, what God's really called him to, this is an opportunity to see that more clearly as well. So.
And then this last question that you'll see on your list there, you know, will Ron resume his usual responsibilities on September 1st? You know, as we're starting to plan this, I'm like, man, I'm going to be gone for 3 months. Those elders are going to be so tired of me being away. The minute I walk back in, it's like, you better get back to work, buddy. You've had enough time off now. I was really blessed, though, by the way they reacted to that question. And again, anything you read on this, and Keith was really helping me with this, that you shouldn't take that approach exactly. So, Kevin, talk to us a little bit. We put a bit of effort into this as well in our planning.
Actually, one of the parallels or illustrations that Ron has used with the elder team is the whole concept of, example, if you're driving on a interstate and you take the off-ramp for a break and you exit the interstate, you use the off-ramp, and for whatever amount of time you're off, you know, be it overnight or for a 15-minute stretch or whatever, but then you hit the on ramp again to get back on the interstate. Two different aspects of a trip. And so we've looked at the off ramp, which will be happening at the beginning of sabbatical, and then we look again at the on ramp. And the on ramp is actually going to be probably the most important aspect of the sabbatical, I think, as we've talked about it, because it's automatically assumed, or sometimes people look at a pastor jumping right back in at the end of sabbatical and hitting the floor with both feet running, because that's what sometimes we do when we're on a break. We come back from vacation, boom, we can't wait to get right back into things. Our caution to Ron, and one of the things that we're processing, is We want to be very intentional to reflect, to process, and make adjustments that God is showing to us during the 3 months. Because God is going to be doing things in Ron's heart. He's going to be doing things in each of the elders' hearts. He's going to be doing things in each one of you. God is going to be showing us things, and some things will be different because God is going to do things. He's going to raise up people in new areas of ministry and giftings and using those gifts. And at the end of 3 months, we may say, wow, you know, God has shown us this. And we're going to make this adjustment. We're going to make that realignment in things that we serve in, or even things that Ron serves in. So the question, or the answer to the question, will Ron jump right back in September? The answer is no. And again, we're going to be very intentional in sort of allowing a stepped-up approach to Ron getting back in. Ron and Molly will be back September 4th, which is Labor Day weekend. Ron may make just a few comments that morning, but again, not having any type of immediate step back into leadership. The following Sunday is our time at the camp meeting in Landisville. So again, Ron and Molly will not be having direct leadership time that morning. But what we are planning on is immediately when they get back or shortly after they get back, Ron will be sitting with the elder team. We'll be reflecting with him, with Molly, on things that we've observed, things that we've sensed God saying. Obviously, they will be speaking about some of the things that God has shown them. And then on Friday night, September 9th, is going to be an opportunity that we are inviting each one of you to join us here at the church for just a brief time to say, okay, God has imparted this to us. Maybe we observed this during the time of Ron's 3 month sabbatical. So it's going to be a time of some dialogue with you, allowing you opportunity to share things with Ron, with the elder team. And then again, the elder team will meet again with Ron and Molly some point prior to September 18th, where we again just kind of put together a summary of things that we've collected, things that we've sensed, things that you have spoken to us as leadership and Ron and Molly. And then on Sunday morning, September 18th, will be a time that the elder team, just like this morning, we will be back up here and just kind of summarizing what God has shown us as a congregation and where he's taking us. So at that point, we're going to be on the on-ramp again for the next leg of the journey and where God is taking us individually and as a body. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of perspective there in September, that crucial couple weeks where we begin to sense the realignment, the readjustments of where God's taking us.
Yeah, I echo what was said earlier. Kevin, I think you may have said it, I'm not sure, but about at the beginning of your comments, you said that this re-entry time is probably the most crucial time, because if we don't learn anything from the sabbatical, what good was it? You know, this is a time of learning. We want to discover, and not just me, not just the five of us, but all of us. And so this Friday night, we wanted to set that date now, this Friday night, September 9th. Really encourage you to put that on your calendars, because not only do Molly and I want to hear from these guys, but we want to hear from any of you. What did God show you during the sabbatical about Living Hope? Like, okay, well, Pastor Ron wasn't here, but yet we noticed this continued without any hiccups. But then we noticed that this thing over here kind of changed, and we think we might have some observations or insights into that or whatever. But we want to give you the opportunity to be a part of this processing, because we think it's going to be very valuable. And then I would probably say this, that September 18th will be our kind of our summary, but it will be, if you'll allow us, it'll be preliminary. Keith Yoder has stressed on me, he said, you know, Ron, sometimes the lessons from sabbatical take some time to fully develop and to become fully apparent. You might be 6 months down the road and you're still realizing, wow, I'm starting to see something more clearly now. But we want to take September to say, okay, what are we learning? What is God showing us? What is he stressed? And for Molly and I to be able to share that, for the elders to be able to share that, but then for you to have that opportunity. So that's your opportunity that Friday evening. You know, obviously you can send emails and we'll have opportunity to talk, but we wanted to set aside a time to just be able to have freedom to talk and hear from you. So we're looking forward to that. So that's basically the list that we've come up with. There may be other questions. You may have other questions. Certainly feel free to get them to us. Kevin also mentioned the off-ramp. We're kind of using the month of May as an off-ramp for me. I don't know if any of you who are normally here early on Sunday mornings noticed I wasn't here this morning. I didn't come this morning till 9:30, which was like super weird. I actually came to church with Molly and Carrie, which was super weird because I never do that. And we were commenting the whole way over, this is weird, this is weird, this is weird. Because I always come to church earlier. I'm usually here by 8:15 or 8:30. And so for the month of May, I'm starting to step back a little bit from some of those types of things. I'll still be preaching a number of Sundays yet, really every Sunday, but next Sunday when I'm not here. But we're starting. We're doing some intentional things in sort of that off-ramp from ministry. And then September, as Kevin said, we've put a bit of planning into the on-ramp thing. So
if I can encourage everybody, if you do have questions about the sabbatical, you can ask Ron, but as time goes on here in May, if you can ask the four of us some of the questions, and we'll field those for you, and instead of, as he's going on his off-ramp, that we'll be able to field those questions for you. That'd probably be better.
Please don't avoid us, though. You can still say hello. We're still here until the end of May. Okay, what we want to do now, don't get mad at us, but we have this nicely color-printed brochure of all the questions that we just talked about. We're going to give them to you now. See, why didn't you give them to us before? Well, we wanted to be able to share them with you before you started reading them. So the ushers are getting in position as we end this morning in just a few moments. They're going to make them available. They'll start passing them down the aisles. We want you to get one of these. It's the same questions we covered this morning. If you forget something we said or you had to step out or whatever, you can share it with your spouse. If your spouse was in the children's ministry this morning, these will be available at the welcome desk. They will also be sent out in an email this week. So just trying to communicate the best we can. And appreciate your prayers. So yeah, they're gonna start handing those out as we wind down. Two Sundays from this morning, not next Sunday, but the following, I'm gonna try to share what has become pretty exciting for me, and that is this idea of, while what you're doing over the summer is going to be in direct parallel to what Molly and I are doing over the summer. Not exactly, but definitely a parallel. So I'm excited to talk more about that and how we can pray for each other and what we're anticipating God to do, not only for Molly and I, but for you as a congregation. So, Any other comments, gentlemen? Anything to add?
One other thing I wanted to add as we were talking was, if you remember back in January and February, we talked about a new thing. What does God have for us around the corner? And the sabbatical plays into that and is a piece of that and will help inform that. So as you pray through the sabbatical and as you look at what your role is and what Living Hope is to grow into, just think about those verses. Think about what we talked about in January, February. Maybe pull back some of those podcasts, because God is doing a work here, and a piece of that work is through the sabbatical process. And God will continue to reveal himself and what he's doing and what he's growing and what he's building and what he's doing through each one of us and through the church as a body. And it's kind of exciting just to see how that started here at the beginning of the year, and as we continue here through the summer. And as Ron said, some of those pieces won't start really becoming clear until the fall or towards the end of the year. But as you kind of look at the year as a whole, you really see and look back and see how God has been working.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we wanted to share this morning. You know, not a sermon per se, but we did want an opportunity just to answer some of the questions that we assume would probably be common questions about a sabbatical. And we're praying that all of us at the end of the summer will say, this was really a good experience. It was really a good experience. Yeah, there were some challenges along the way probably for all of us, but it was a good experience. And to be able to come away with, this is what God showed us. This is what God showed us. This is what he taught us, and this is how he stretched us. And again, it's us. I was really blessed by this emphasis that I really hadn't thought a lot about before, but a sabbatical is as much for the congregation as it is for the pastor. And you might not really be able to picture that, or you might be wondering, well, how does that work? But I'm confident that we'll all see together that, you know, this really was a good experience for all of us. So So that's pretty much it. We're handing out those summary sheets that kind of summarize what we talked about this morning. And so let's just as you're handing those out, let's just close in a word of prayer, and then you're going to be free to go. Father, thank you for your leadership. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the head of the church. You are the head of the church. You are the chief cornerstone. We sang about you as cornerstone earlier this morning. And then we build on your cornerstone. So we have those two images in the scripture of one, that you're the cornerstone, which means you're at the bottom holding things together. But also, you are the head of the body. Paul talks about you being the head of the body, which shows you at the top. Of course, you're all in and through every part of us, but we thank you for your leadership. I thank you for these men that are on the stage with me, for their support through this planning and their eager endorsement and encouragement towards it. I pray for Jay and his role as lead elder over the summer, just as he steps into that role. God, we know that your anointing will go with that and your authority will go with that. And I pray that as a body, we will support him and the elders as I have experienced that support as well. And just thank you for our time this morning. God, I pray for each person here, God, especially for those this morning who are in a place where they are in need of rest and they know it. Maybe it's not available to them to take days or weeks off. I realize that's a very rare privilege, and I'm thankful for that. But God, you have ways that each of us can come apart and rest, that we can find rest for our souls. And Jesus, we know that you are the rest for our souls. It's primarily not so much about our activities, but it's about connecting with you that we find rest for our souls. So God, I pray for those who are in the audience this morning who are stretched out right now. They're really not only physically busy, many of us are physically busy, but yet they're feeling the emotional toll. Holy Spirit, I just pray for your ministry in them. Give them wisdom, Lord, as to maybe 10 minutes a day, whatever that is, something they can do that they connect with you, that they begin to experience your rest. I pray for all of us in that way. And again, just thank you for our time together this morning. Continue to guide our steps in all we do, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, thank you so much. You're dismissed.